start a love train.
The Norwalk, fresh off the love train, welcoming you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link in the upper right. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you will be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook. These days, go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and see that gorgeous little golden retriever in the pink flamingo float ring in the swimming pool. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. It's just adorable. All righty then. Nathan and I had a fabulous time love training. It was nice to have the lasers back. I missed those last week. David brings a real nice air guitar, but he's not so he doesn't do the lasers and stuff, Nathan. So I miss those. He also doesn't know how to get the train whistle. So you have to teach him how to get the train whistle because I missed that as well.
Sounds but like I'm you got also, the clickety clacks though. Gave you those. You
know, yeah. Yeah. But not the train whistle.
Ah.
But anyway, and then I'm telling on Walter because Walter is a crummy dancer and participant in the love train. It's like,
couldn't you see I was dancing in my head?
I could not see you dancing in your head. So, all right.
I tried to make it as transparent.
Okay.
Possible.
All right. So then I guess we have to give him credit. He's dancing in his head. And I do, of course, say that's legal and acceptable. So I have to accept.
Yeah.
That.
Hey, I jumped on it.
All right.
You even say it yourself, Martha. You can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed.
Right. That's what I said. So I guess, okay. That was a really good answer because I can't yell at him anymore. He was dancing in his head. So we have to give him credit.
I demand
that.
A full apology.
Yes. Yep. So you got it. I'm grateful that you were dancing in your head. Oh, now it must be your dog friend.
A little bit late to the love train there.
Yeah, I can hear your dog barking.
That's Heidi.
Heidi. All right. All right. That's okay. So now for anybody, if you're just tuning in, it's an extra Sunday this month, so I'm throwing in a teaching show. Joining me and Nathan is Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, who started this whole thing, and Lance being the border collie that was so abused and became such an aggressive dog, and that Walter was able to write a whole book about all the amazing stories of Lance, and sometimes you, well, I'm amazed that he's still alive. The two of them got into so much trouble together, out wandering around the planet. But anyway, it's a great book, and you can get a copy of Lance from Walter, and they can do that through your website, can't they, Walter? Walter Stoffel author.com, and you can actually get a book of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, through the website. All righty, so. We were going over some of the behavior and training questions that Walter's followers have submitted. We had a little repeat here, but we had a chance to kind of go over those. And I think you've got one more, Walter, that we haven't heard yet. So why don't you tell us what that one's all about?
And just go ahead and unmute yourself there, Walter. I had it a little bit muted because of the dog going on, but I think we'll just keep it on. Let me click that button again for you. Did a button pop up saying to unmute?
Well, here right. we go.
There Mark we go. Reason. We got him back
there
now.
There we go. Yay.
I haven't trained Heidi when not to bark, so that's something I have to work on.
Oh, and we're going to get to that today.
So we have a lady, Tanya, very simple, very short, sweet, and not surprising problem. She's got I believe it's a male border collie. She characterizes him as generally unruly and specifically chases cars. And she's been to a number of dog trainers with no real success.
Interesting. Okay. You know, chasing cars, you know, was a big problem I can remember growing up because we had no leash laws, you know, and dogs ran loose all over the place, and that was legal to do. And, you know, dogs have a chase instinct. When something moves, their tendency is to chase it. And then you add in some of the sounds of cars or especially motorcycles, they are unpleasant and they hurt the ears of the dog. And so they get mad at them too. And then they want to chase even more. But these days, you know, with leash laws and we're supposed to be responsible humans with our dogs, I rarely, if ever, hear about a car chasing problem. In fact, I was just thinking, Walter, you know, before I go do a private session with my clients, one of the homework they have to do before I get there is to get out a list and compile a list of problems. And it might be barking, jumping, chewing, digging, you know, pulling on the leash, chasing rabbits and cats or dog, you know. But I don't even remember the last time a chasing cars was on the list. So I guess that now goes into kind of an unusual situation. So, you know, see, that would be the kind of question that it would be really helpful to have the owner on the phone, you know, so you can find out, well, when's the dog getting an opportunity to chase cars? Are you letting it run loose? Which, my gosh, you should not do that with a border collie. And, you know, border collies, you know, like Nathan, you said, I mean, they're working dogs. And they need a leader, they need a job, and something to do to blow off all that steam. And if you don't give them that kind of exercise and functional job-like stuff to do, then they do other things, and chasing cars could come up with it. But it basically, you know, would involve supervising whenever, and I'll just say this to you all, because we're going to be getting into this as we actually get to how do we solve these problems. Typically, for something like this, and it might be barking at things, it might be chasing stuff, or, you know, aggressively going after things like chasing the car. I tend to take a two-prong approach, a two-step approach. Step one, I implement a program to start controlling the behavior and stopping whatever it is. Might be stopping the bark or stopping the chase. And then once you're well into step one and controlling the problem, then you get to move and add step two, which is change the way they feel about things or change the pattern. So with chasing like rabbits or squirrels, now that's the most common thing related that I'd see on a list of complaints for my clients. The session before last, earlier this week that I did, chasing bunnies and squirrels was on top of the list. And so we were out doing that. And I think, Nathan, you said that you could have some problems with Abby, your dog, doing that. And the problem that people run into with their dogs, now it could be a rabbit. It could be a squirrel. It could be a cat. It could be another dog or a human, but whatever the dog has problems with and wants to go after, when you go out walking, you know, they're, and if you have them on leash, it's like a hyper focus. They like, when they alert on something and then all their focus is there and they're ready. Most people can't break through, you know, what they're thinking and where the dog's mind already is and what they're doing. And that's the problem, is being able to get their attention back to communicate what's wrong and right. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly what we're going to start addressing, because that we're getting into the practical, logical, how to do all this stuff today. So the good news is that we'll once we get all the components in place, which we're getting very close to, then we will start taking these specific problems and how to address them. So there'll be a whole category of chasing stuff. You know, cats, rabbits, bunnies, squirrels, you know, and cars could certainly fall into that. But unusual that she would have experience in having worked with a number of trainers and hasn't solved the problem. You know, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But
Martha, could I just share an anecdote from my childhood that this brought up? I was fortunate enough to grow up in Long Island when there was actually woods and we were surrounded by woods. And I used to take my German Shepherd Rex into the woods. I mean, he loved the hikes and all. It just so happened there were no houses around, but deep in the woods were the Long Island Railroad tracks. And he chased trains.
Oh,
and I was remember as a little kid, the first time I saw it, I got scared as heck because I thought, you know, he didn't really lunge at it, but he was barking and he'd go right alongside it and he would go for a long distance. So being a kid, I didn't really know this, you know, what to do. What I would do is whenever we walked in that area, I always keep my ear open for the train coming, because usually the whistle was like maybe 5 minutes away before the train. Yeah. And when it would, immediately I'd run deep into the woods. And of course, Rex would follow me. So he would not get the opportunity to chase trains. But I don't know. I don't know if I've ever met another dog whose owner said, you know what, he chases trains. I guess if they want to chase something, it really doesn't matter what it is. It's moving.
Well, you know, and there's always, you know, we invented something really good when it comes to managing dogs. It's called a leash.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
I mean, Yeah, hello. I mean, if you have them on a leash, at least they can't take off and you know, run under the train or get in trouble with the car or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But remember, I think I told you in our discussions tell that, you know, one of the biggest mistakes people make with new dogs, young dogs, or is allowing too much freedom too quickly. And so when you do that, unfortunately, they have the opportunity to learn a lot of bad habits, and then it can be very challenging to start turning those things around.
Yes.
So, all right, now if we allow ourselves to talk too much, we're gonna run out of time. We only have a 3-hour show. So anyway, we have got to take care of advertisers to stay on schedule. We're gonna do that right now, and then we'll come back and let's get rolling with our subject. We will make full circle and come around to all these questions again once we have the components in part. But stay right where you are. We'll take care of advertisers, and then teaching begins right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Find our app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are getting to midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here until noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful NuPro Supplements, and it's N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. Check them out online. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets, and their website is really nice, and you can easily order the products through the website, or you'll find them at a lot of pet stores, too. I know the NuPro dog supplement is on the shelf at Bridges up in Snohomish where I shop. So look around and check it out. NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. And of course, our premier sound healer, Jude Potten, is back in business in the area. You'll find her at the Whispering Dragon Center in Seattle. Website whispering-dragon.com. Facebook is Whispering Dragon Center, and she posted a wonderful video for all of us for sound energy healing and balancing for all the astrological stuff that's going on. So go to the Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook and you can watch that wonderful harmonic energy shifting video she did for all of us. And if you'd like to schedule an appointment for an in-person sound healing session or acutonics or chiropractic acupuncture, whatever it is that you need, or you can call her. Phone number is 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. Okay, so I think we are ready now to get going with the teaching stuff. And I realized this is, you know, ending up being a bit of a challenge in that, you know, I don't have any idea who's listening and who's paid attention all along and who's heard all the shows and who hasn't. So before I pick up and continue, I think I need to do a little bit of follow-up and review. But last time, last show, and the last show we did was last month, the third Sunday of the month, I believe. And of course, you can go back into the audio archives. You go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, click on the audio archives, and then you can go back and pick up all the shows I've done with Walter and catch up with all the information. Now, last time we talked mostly about all the aspects of communication. You guys remember that? And, you know, that thought directs energy and energy follows thought, and that the aspects of communication, physical body language, vocal tonalities, and teaching vocabulary, they get the pictures in your mind and feel what you're feeling. And we covered all those bases, and I talked about how you actually use this communication. And, you know, when you're teaching vocabulary or when you want to explain things to your dogs. And that's an important thing to understand, that because remember, my premise is we've not given credit to dogs for who they really are. They think and reason. They have feelings and emotions. They're great communicators. Now, they don't have the same great sophisticated left brain intellect that we humans have. They're more like little kids and are very simple minded, but they can communicate well if we know how to communicate with them. And just to help you understand how important this aspect of communication is, I want to finish up, because I made a note last time of one communication story that's really important and will help you understand the significance of this and how you can use this stuff. Now, using the telepathic and empathetic communication and actually explaining something to your dogs is part of what we do, one of the things we do when we're dealing with separation issues. Okay. For many years, I've been doing this show, and I think we're around 28 somewhere. But the first 10 years were on Como, and lots and lots and lots of calls over the years. And I would often get calls, Walter, similar to some of the questions where we have the separation anxiety and can't leave the dog home alone, the barking or destruction or whatever's going on, the separation anxiety type thing, leaving the dog. Well, I can't tell you how many times over the years those people would call in about the dogs. And when I was on a really huge and really popular station, and I had to do what I call slam dunk radio and only had a few minutes with each callers, and so I couldn't go into lots of detail. Sometimes what I do with these people is I just tell them, without doing anything else, let's just have you explain to your dog what you're doing. And so I'd have them talk to their dog about where they were going, what they're going to be doing, how long they'd be gone, and when they'd be back, what they expected the dog to be doing while they were gone. And, you know, as they just talk out loud to their dog and imagine it in their mind. And you remember, you guys, Nathan, Walter, you remember that from last week? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me tell you, I can't tell you how many callers would call back. I remember once. Okay. I've done so much radio for so long, but it's been a long time since I've done television. So when I go out in public, people didn't recognize me looking at me. But if I was in a public setting and I started speaking, people recognized my voice. So this was a number of years ago. And while I was still on, you know, I was on, you know, Como and all of this. And I was in a store somewhere doing something. And, you know, and I was like, oh, I know that voice. I know that. Oh, you're Martha Norwalk. Well, okay. It was a guy. It was a man. You know, and he said, I just got to tell you, I got to thank you. He said, but, you know, my wife loves your show and always listened to your show. And our little Lhasa Apso or whatever it was he said, had terrible separation anxiety stuff and we couldn't leave and it was destroying the place. And my wife made me listen to your show and we called in. And you told us to talk to our dog and you told us to explain what was going on. And he said, Martha, I just want you to know, I thought you were nutty or not fruitcake. I thought you were nuts. Okay. And I told my wife that. He said, but we decided, what the heck? We talked to our dog anyway. We might as well do what she said to do. He said, I'm amazed, and that's why I introduced myself to you, because you were right. It worked. As soon as we started explaining to the dog where we were going, when we were going to be back, total problem went away. So I don't want you to just dismiss the pictures and the communication, because I could tell you stories for days and days and days of how just the communication alone solved problems. Now, this one story I'm going to tell you kind of brings it all together and one of the most important ways you can use this communication. Because we humans tend to generalize, assume, and flashback too, just like our dog friends do. So many people have trouble leaving their dogs for boarding or, you know, going off on vacation. We leave our dog or cats at home, have someone come in and babysit them, and we go off. Well, sometimes when we leave our animals, they have separation issues and they get into trouble and are either destructive or have an issue. Well, I had this kind of a problem my parents had with one of their dogs. So this was a few decades ago when my parents were still here. And what you need to know about this is that they had gotten old enough and to the point that, you know, they were no longer interested in raising puppies. So when they got to that age of their life, if they lost a dog, I would find them an already raised and trained model. So this dog was a German Shepherd. Her name was Puna. And she came to my parents at 5 years old. They rescued her and adopted her. And we've had a number of German Shepherds, and she fit right in and did great. They only had one problem with her. And the problem was, is if they went on a trip, and to travel, they had to take her to the boarding kennel, and she would hate to go to the boarding kennel, and they'd have to drag her into the kennel, and then they'd leave her at the kennel, and she would do horrible. While she would refuse to eat, she wouldn't play, she'd have a horrible time at the boarding kennel while they were gone. And then when they'd come back to pick her up, she'd be ticked off. She wouldn't speak to him. Oh, you're here to get me? Well, you know, and they would have to work to get back in her graces, good graces, for a few days. So when this all came together and we were able to solve the problem, my parents were getting ready to go on a business trip with my dad, and they were flying, I don't know, to North Carolina or something for some kind of business seminar. And of course, they couldn't take the dog. So the night before they left, I called them because I was going to wish them well on their trip. So my dad answered the phone and I'm talking to him about the trip. And all of a sudden he says, Martha, I got to go because Rosie's getting ready to pack the suitcases. And you know how Puna feels when we leave town. So she can't know we're leaving. I have to take her for a walk so she doesn't see Rosie packing the suitcases. I got to go. Well, when he said that to me, it was like bells and whistles went off. All of a sudden, I realized and understood what the problem was and why Puna was having such a hard time. Okay. So the story is, my parents, they were able to rescue and adopt Puna through some friends of mine. And it was my friend that owns the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. Okay. So this dog was available through the Academy and we adopted the dog. Well, guess what the backstory was? The reason that Puna at 5 years old was at the Academy and needed to be adopted was because her beloved owner took her there to board her and then didn't come back to get her. He left her there. So she was abandoned at the kennel. Well, so they went through the protocol and all of that, and then it was legal and they could place her. Puna got placed with my parents and she loved it, was great. But guess what? When they left town, where did they take her to board? They went back to the same kennel. They took her to the Academy to board. Well, when I realized when my dad said that he had to go take Puna for a walk so she doesn't see him packing, I realized the whole problem. So I said to my dad, hold on. I think I know what's going on with Puna and why she has such a hard time when you leave her. And I know what to do about it. Would you like me to tell you about that? So the point I'm telling you about this is that if you have friends that have problems with their animals and you're listening to me and my teaching shows and you learn something about what's going on and you want to help them, ask them if they want to know and if they want your help. And if they say no, you got to honor that. Okay. You can't force this stuff on people. They say yes, then you can help. My father fortunately said, yes, I want to know. So I said, okay. Now, you need to know that at that point, you know, I was already teaching interspecies telepathic communication and talking with your animals. My parents were familiar with it, not from me, because I'd had them watch other communicators too. So they learned it from someone else so they wouldn't think their daughter is nuts. But so they knew about, you know, the pictures in your mind. They knew about this communication. So I explained to my dad, I reminded him where they got Puna and that I was sure that's why every time they took her back to the kennel, she flashed back on the last time she was there, she got abandoned. Okay? And her owner left her. And then my parents were amplifying that because you got to remember, dogs read your minds. They get the pictures, all animals, they get the pictures in your mind. You know, so how do you know, like, the dog's always excited to go in the car, but today he's hiding under the bed. How does he know we're going to the vet? Well, because you've been thinking about it and he knows that. Okay. So they read your mind. So I explained to my dad that by taking Puna for a walk so that she doesn't see the packing and by hiding the packing from her, the dogs assume you're trying to sneak away and that you're leaving them on. And it gets really upsetting for them. So I explained to dad, I said, you're not going to take her for a walk. What you're going to handle completely differently this time. You're going to take Puna and you're going into the bedroom with mom and you're going to help mom pack. And while you're packing, you guys are going to explain to Puna what's going on. So I said, as you're packing, you're going to tell her and explain to her. So you're going to say, Puna, we're packing all our stuff in these suitcases. And in the morning, we're going to put them in the car and we're all going to go in the car and we're going to drive out to the Academy and we're going to leave you with Colleen so that we know that you're going to be fed and played with and walk. We're going to drive to the airport. We're going to get on the plane. We're going to fly to wherever we're going. And, you know, dogs don't like to fly. And where we're going, it's really, really hot. In your German Shepherd coat, you'd be very hot. It's uncomfortable. And remember I told you, you can't stay where we're going to be gone for a week. or a weekend, because they don't necessarily understand the concept of time, you speak to them in terms of lights and darks in your mind. So we're going to spend a night there, and then I'm going to a meeting, and mom's going shopping, and then we're going to spend another night, and then we're going to play golf, and then we're going to spend another night, we're going to do this, and then we're going to spend another night, and then we're going to pack up our bags, and we're going to get on the plane, and we're going to fly back to Seattle, and we're going to get in our car, and we're going to drive straight to the kennel to pick you up, and then we're all going home together. While we're gone, we want you to have a good time with Aunt Colleen and eat your food and play your games and all of that. Okay. So my dad said, we can do that. So he hung up the phone, went into the bedroom. They helped mom pack and explained to Puna the trip. The next morning, they got up and loaded up the car and off to the academy they went. And as they made the drive, they explained to Puna again this whole drill. Now, when they got to the academy, the most amazing thing happened. They opened the door. Puna hopped out of the car. She dragged them into the kennel, wagging her tail. She stayed for the first time and had a marvelous time. She ate, she played, she was great. And when my parents came back to get her, she wasn't mad at them. Oh, and by the way, I had them send mental postcards while they're gone. You remember, did I tell you about that last month, remember, mom would sit and close her eyes and say, oh, well, we just had breakfast and dad's at a meeting and I'm going to go shopping and then we're going to stay another night. And so every day they would send mental postcards and check in with Puna. So when they came back to pick her up, she was thrilled to see them. She squealed with delight. They all went home a happy family. And that's how they handled leaving Puna from that day forward. They never for the rest of her life had a problem leaving her anyway and separating from her. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So it's really important that you explain things to your dog. Now, but you got to remember that if your dog's lived with you for a long time, most people are thinking differently than what they're saying. And so you have to practice at what I taught you in the last show. And while you're speaking, focus your mind on what you're saying, because they get the pictures and feel what you're feeling. All right. Now, does that all make sense? All right. And then remember, we kind of ended last time with the communication that the pictures come in through the right brain and the right brain doesn't accept negatives. So don't, and no statements do not transfer visually. Y'all remember that? If you say to your dog, don't pee on the floor, don't jump on my friend. What does the dog get in the picture? There's no don't. So they get pee on the floor, jump on my friend. Remember that don't and no statements do not transfer visually. All right. Now, I'm ready to go to the next portion that I went in a session, but I realized because of the way we're doing this and it's taking a number of months to get there that I need to do a little bit of a review here and remind you all that I have structured this the way I'm sharing this information as I structure a session. And Nathan's reminding me that we have advertisers to take care of one more time. And so I'm going to time out right here. We'll take care of our advertisers. We'll come back. I'll do a little review and then we will proceed. So stay right where you are, everybody. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Wondering what's on next on Alternative Talk 1150? Check out 1150kknw.com.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful Best and Energy Codes practitioner, Linda Rasmussen. You can see her in person at the Intraspace facility at the old Rainier Brewery, or she works remotely. It's the latest in therapy and working through things quickly and easily without having to do a lot of talk stuff. So if you would like to experience bioenergetic synchronization technique and the energy codes and the wonderful healing work that she does, you can check her out at verticalenergyworldwide.com, verticalenergyworldwide.com. And Linda's offering a free introductory session for any of you. All you got to do is call or text her at the number I'm going to give you. Tell her you want a free session and you can come in and do it in person, or for any of, you know, Walter's listeners all over the country, you can do it remotely over the phone, and the remote treatments are every bit as powerful, sometimes more so than the in-person sessions. So call or text Linda and tell her you want a free session. The number is 206-841-1992, 206-841-1992. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planets we live on. Would love to have you join our Animal World family of advertisers. We've got great rates. You get interviews on the show and links on the website. So all you got to do is contact me. You can shoot me an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or you can just give me a call, 360-217-7258, 360-217-7258. 7258. All righty then. Let's see. Now, I'm going to do a bit of a review for you here. So when we get, because we're getting to the real concrete nuts and bolts stuff. Now, even though we just kind of came out of woo-woo territory, because, you know, I'm teaching you about the interspecies telepathic and empathetic communication, kind of know that one of my specialties has been taking all of this stuff that affects dogs and their behavior and why they do what they do, and putting it all together in a practical, logical, usable form. Now, I'm just going to remind you that I've been doing what I do my whole life. My whole life has been devoted to understanding animals. I didn't like people when I was a kid. I was very sensitive and all of that, and my world involved animals, and that's where it is. So you need to know, I started training dogs in grade school. I started working in veterinary hospitals by the time I was 15. So teaching obedience classes. So I was working professionally by the time I was 15. And I went through a period of learning everything I could about training dogs and sort of teaching. And I was managing teachers and instructors and teaching basic obedience classes. And for almost 20 years, you know, I was teaching basic obedience classes and working in veterinary medicine. And the problem was, I was finding out that basic obedience training wasn't really solving people's problems. I wasn't as much interested. You know, I did competition training and all of that stuff for years and years and years. And of course, working in veterinary hospitals, lots of access to people. And, you know, they My dog, you know, chews up the couch and pees on the floor and bites the neighbor. What should I do? Well, come on down to obedience school. We'll teach them what they need to know. And they'd come to school and learn sit, down, stay, come, heal. But you'd take them home and they'd still chew up the couch or pee on the floor, bite the neighbor. Basic obedience training wasn't solving the problems. So that's where my focus became, I wanted to understand dogs to the level of why they do what they do, and then how to change their behavior and how to successfully live with them. And I wanted to be able to give people a comprehensive education and everything they need to know to solve the problems quickly. Because, you know, the complaint was always, I don't want to go to class for the rest of my life and for months and for years to train that. I just want to know, how do I deal with this now? I want it done. You know, we're kind of a 7-Eleven slam dunk society and we want things. So that has been my focus. Understanding why dogs do what they do, taking everything that I've learned and putting it all together in like a practical, logical, usable form. So that's kind of what I'm sharing today. And I'm structuring this in the way I'm feeding you the information, just like I do a session. So when I do a session with people and their dogs, 9 times out of 10, barking is on the list of problems. Okay. So I have to take advantage of the opportunities that I have to test things and see what's going to work with the dog and all of that. So when I arrive at my client's home, now, you know, they've prepared their list ahead of time. They're ready for me. I come, and if we've got a dog that barks at people at the door, I don't even enter the house to start with. I have the owner of the dog leave the dog in the house and come out with me on the front porch. And then I give them a training tool and tell them what they're going to do. And that what we're, and the idea is that we are going to control the barking before I ever even come into the house. All right. Now, I'm changing gears here at the moment because I'm not going to explain to you how we do this. Because I'm going to be teaching you this whole sequence and how we do that. And then I will come back and tell, we'll start a session all over again and how we use this at the front door. But so after that 20 years of veterinary medicine, 20 years of teaching classes and training dogs and obedience and realizing didn't have enough answers, this got me to like the 80s. We're in the 80s now, starting in the early 80s. And I've realized I have to become a behavior therapist rather than just a trainer. And so that's what I was focusing on. And I stopped teaching classes and doing group things, and I started doing private sessions. I also started collecting dogs off a death row and all the biters and the destructors and the unhoused train and the horrible dog. And I had 17 dogs in my house at one time so that I could work with them and figure out how to do all this stuff and get these things done. And I started doing private sessions in the 80s. So what I'm giving you now and what I'm teaching you now is what has culminated and built over these decades of doing private sessions to where I am now and what I'm doing now. And, you know, it's been tweaked and worked with the whole time. But you need to know it's me, and I'm not the end-all, be-all authority. And I had to learn a long time. There isn't just one right way to do things. What works for some people and some animals doesn't necessarily work for others. There are different training techniques and approaches. And just so you know, going into this, I started in the old school. And there was a lot wrong in the old school. And I'm partially responsible for pushing the world of dog training into the more all positive stuff. But as I think I've already told you, the world of dog training moved into the all positive, and they've gone off the deep end on their side. So I believe there's just as many problems in the old school as there are in the new school. And just so you know, I am not an all positive operant conditioning clicker trainer. No, clicker training is wonderful. Okay. But clicker training was designed to work with marine mammals. And it works really good with that because they needed a way to communicate with like the orcas and the dolphins when they're in the middle of the air and out in a pool somewhere. It was really good for that. But then Karen Pryor tweaked it and adjusted it for working with dogs and all of that. And there's nothing wrong with clicker training. There's nothing wrong with operant conditioning. It's a great way to teach things, teaching tricks and stuff. And I use operant conditioning all the time in teaching dogs stuff. But I believe the problem exists on both ends. And the problem is that we don't give dogs credit for who they really are. They aren't the stupid creatures we've made them out to be. They think and reason. They have feelings and emotions. They have personalities, personality quirks and glitches. They are just as individual as humans can be. But the big difference is, of course, they come in dog suits and you need to know how that works in order to be successful. And so all of this communication stuff is really important. But I believe that raising dogs is just like raising kids. It's a process that you go through. Now, they don't have the same sophisticated intellect that we adult humans do. They're very simple thinking, and you have to communicate with them on that level. But they don't, in my opinion, because they're dogs, they don't just need to know what's right. They need to know what's wrong. And impulse behavior is learned. Impulse control is learned behavior. If you don't teach this to them, they don't know it. So that's where I come from, and that's where all the stuff I'm going to teach you comes from. This is how I've figured out to educate people, give up comprehensive education about dogs and their dogs, and teach them everything they need to know and get all the serious problems under control often during that first session. Now, I just did session yesterday, mini golden doodle. 2 years old, almost 2 years old, living in Seattle city proper, and barking like a banshee, and very friendly, happy dog. So jumping all over everybody, but now getting defensively aggressive with other dogs and other people, and pulling and lunging, and the wife can't even walk the dog anymore, and it's crazy, and all of that. They hesitated for quite a while to contact me and hire me, and because all my reviews say, oh, the problem solved in one day, you know, it's done before she left and all of that. They didn't believe it. Well, by the time I was leaving, she said, we didn't believe it when we read all those reviews. Oh, we so wish we had called you sooner and we had started earlier. This is a miracle. Da 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 da. So it worked very well. All righty. So we're ready to continue. And of course, we're at the top of the hour. So it's time to change gears. But we are. So now you kind of know. I just want you to really know that this is my thing and what I've done. And you don't have to believe me and you don't have to do what I tell you to do. But this has evolved for decades and decades. And it really, really works. But you have to be open to teaching dogs what's wrong as well as what's right. And we do it in the quickest and least offensive way possible. And I'm going to explain all that stuff to you. We're getting into the meat of everything as we go into the next hour. So we are, it's a perfect time to time out. Because I also realized I don't have all my training tools here in the house, so I have to run out to the garage and get one so I can tell you about it when we get back. So I'm going to do that. And Love Train's coming up. So remember, dancing is required, everybody. But as Walter knows, you can dance in your head, you can dance in your bed, you can dance in your chair, you can dance anywhere, or you can get up and join the Love Train with me. I'll cruise by and pick you up. We're sending the love and light all over the planet, especially send lots of love and light to Ukraine and Europe and all of that. Let's see peace happening. And I energize up the Love Train with our yogi energization prayer so we get extra energy for today and the week. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the Love Train. And it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.